All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Wednesday, May 2nd. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
On his last pod of the week, as he ventures off into the great unknown for this week and next week, James will not be around for the next couple podcasts. I'll have Chris Durrell on for Friday's podcast talking baseball, and then maybe next Tuesday as well. And then we'll slowly realize we don't really need you, and maybe that's the way the podcast goes from now on. But this will be your last podcast.
Stop, it's my wildest fantasy. Just don't get my hopes up, please.
DFSR.com. That's some brand building right there. DFSR.com/MLB. We'll get you started on a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. Optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. MLB, NBA, while the season still rolls along through the playoffs here, football when the time comes around, all covered under one subscription package. A lot of sites like to kind of just take all their, whoever wrote the article or whatever site it's for or whatever, whatever sport it's for, and just kind of make it into a bunch of different packages. Not us. We just have one sub. And you go over and sign up for it, and you're covered for everything that we offer, members-only chat as well. So dfsr.com/MLB will get you started. We have a split slate of MLB action today with 1 o'clock, most games starting at 1 o'clock Eastern, or at least the slate starting at 1 o'clock Eastern, and then a smaller evening set of games. Not as many stud pitchers as we had yesterday, and we talked at length about how many elite arms, but still actually a decent amount going today as well. And there are some guys that we can kind of take a look at. I do want to start with one guy here, and I think he's going to be probably the chalk, and it's going to be correct, I assume. And Corey Kluber. My question for you is, when we talk a lot about K rates and like getting numbers to normalize over a course of a season, and how for some pitchers, there's been a makeup change or a change in their pitching profile or whatever. Kluber last year struck out 11.7 batters per nine over 203 innings. And this season, that's down to 9.33, which is more in line with his two previous seasons. When you look at these numbers, because again, one place where we do make some manual adjustments to players are in K rates. We do it in a couple places in our system. Most of the time, we just kind of stick with our preseason thoughts, at least for a longer stretch. What do you want to do with a guy like Kluber's K rates? He's coming off a phenomenal season, but now the numbers are maybe back down to where they had been for what might end up being his career average. What do you think of Kluber and where we kind of settle here?
I think that it's just how his early season went last year, and it's probably just how his early season's going this year. 2017, K per 9 in March and April was 9.7. Didn't have a month below 10.5 after that. This year, he's off to the same start. I guess you don't want to just pencil it in as a guarantee that that's going to turn back around, but given that there's some historical precedent for it, I can't be too concerned about it. 2 years ago, 2016, 9.2 K per 9 in the first month, and then actually May was pretty slow for him too, but then was up near 10 for the rest of the season also. So yeah, he's just has a slow start, working up the velocity, whatever the reason is, doesn't like to pitch in the cold. Can't be totally sure, but this is nothing new for Kluber, and things should be slowly starting to turn around come this time of year.
Yeah, that's interesting. And baseball just goes through such dramatic weather changes over the course of the year, unlike really any, I guess football to some degree, but it's not really that's a good true. Comp. There's much made of like, oh, players that can play in the cold. Pitching is one of those things like that. It is very finicky, and I suspect if all the elements don't line up for you correctly, mostly that it's warm out, right? That your arm just gets maybe more lively when it's warm. One thing he's traded some of the strikeouts for just innings pitched. He's averaging 7.5 innings per game right now, which is just crazy for any starter.
But again, this time of year, it's actually nuts.
It's nuts. The ERA is 2.18. The xFIP is right around 3. So there's really no other differences in him other than his K rates probably were a little bit of an outlier last year, and maybe the truth ends up becoming somewhere in the middle. Do you think he's just, judging by some of this money line, right now he's -300+, it looks like. The wind is blowing out really pretty steadily, it looks like, to left field, which always gets me a little bit concerned. And Kluber is a guy that will give up home runs. Like he sometimes, like we said, trades the strikeouts for home runs when you live up in the zone. Do you still think, just with that money line and just the nature of being a short slate, do you think he just ends up being the chalk? There are a couple other guys we can talk about here, but he seems like pretty far ahead of the pack.
Poor Corey Kluber, lifetime 0.86 home runs per nine innings, sometimes gives the home run tag given to him.
Well, here's the thing.
Statistical analyst Doug Norrie.
No, here's the thing. I just fell into a trap that a lot of people fall into, and I'm going to explain
why. You saw him
why.
Give up a home run the last time he pitched or something?
Not necessarily, but the thing is, no, I did not see him give up a home run. But one thing that it's easy to fall into the trap. Maybe, you know, maybe I did just fall into that trap. Just like I rostered him and he gave up a home run. Sometimes with these guys that are so good, like so few bad things do happen to them that they're just more memorable, right? So like the yeah. Max Scherzer, you know, gives up a home run. Like, well, dude, everyone gives up a home run. I'm lambasting myself here for like that stupid comment. So yeah, like, but I'm trying to figure out where some of these I'm trying to figure out where some of these comments come from. And I think that's it. It's like when you are the Chris Sales and Max Scherzers of the world, like. Just 90% of the time, just what you're doing is just awesome, right? And so, like, the 10% when it just the wheels kind of fall off or you just make a bad pitch, it just is that much more memorable. And it's more memorable because these guys are rostered, you know, twice as much, if not more, than most other pitchers in baseball. So their performances are scrutinized in a way that, like, no one's like, Lucas Giolito might give up a home run every once in a while. Yeah, of course, everyone does, right? But, like, these guys, their starts, at least on a DFS perspective, are much more scrutinized because – we have them rostered and they're heavily owned. Sure.
Well, and I know, and so we did pitch him at Baltimore. It was like a week and a half ago when he gave up the two home runs and only had 4 Ks. Still only gave up 3 runs total. But yeah, I feel you. Nonetheless, I mean, this is a really long conversation to say Kluber's a clear and obvious chalk on the early slate. I don't know that there are even anyone else you can consider on FanDuel. I mean, I guess you could look at Carlos Martinez. It's a pretty good total there. Minus 252, obviously a very favorable money line. He's been pretty strong this season. I mean, if you compare these two guys on DraftKings, I think you're probably sitting pretty. But it's probably not worth your while to go out on the limb with Martinez for cash on FanDuel, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, Martinez has the strikeouts are right in line with this season with Kluber's. It's more, and really just kind of for the last couple of seasons outside of that 111K, but he just walks too many guys. Oh, he's walking more than 4 for 9 this year. His ERA, his xFIP is 2.5 runs higher than the ERA, so the ERA looks elite at 1.4, but then he's really just going to, he'll probably settle more in that high threes range, which is where he's been over the last couple of seasons. A very good arm. I think I'm with you that I would want to probably try to get them together on DraftKings. My question on DraftKings starting pitcher too is we are definitely in a, we're daring you to play Yu Darvish at 8,400 here. I just don't know what to make of it. So we have a couple of factors rolling together here for Darvish. One is that the last couple of days, the wind has been blowing really steadily out in Wrigley and it's jumped the Vegas lines up for better or for worse, because like the Cubs, it's been on the Cubs side and they just haven't put up really any runs. And it, especially was considering how highly they've been owned. So one, you have the wind blowing out. We do not have an over-under on the game right now. So that's probably driving his projection a little bit, but it looks like 17 miles an hour straight out the center. He's a heavy favorite at -190. But Darvish, the Ks are there, but man, the walks, like 4.5 walks per nine, coming off a postseason where he just got lit up in the postseason where it looked like he was tipping pitches, or like the report was he was tipping pitches. What do we make of Darvish going forward here? Because I'm very concerned with the walks. He's not going far into games. He's averaging only 5 innings per start. The xFIP, the ERA is bad. The xFIP's the worst of his career. Is it a blip? I guess if he hadn't had such a bad postseason, I'd be willing to explain it away a little bit better, but that's also kind of just sticking in the back of my head.
Yeah, well, I think it's worthwhile to look at a guy like Darvish. He's always been a very unconventional pitcher, and when people pitch unconventionally, sometimes their stats move in unconventional directions. I wouldn't worry about the postseason. That's just like a couple game sample size. As for the starts per innings pitched per start so far this year, keep in mind he does have that one Coors game, and while it doesn't sound like much, on such a small sample size of 5 starts, one game in Coors where you get blown up, and spoiler alert, he did get blown up. That's a spoiler, but I'm saying if you haven't watched that game, like if it's in your DVR and you plan on getting back to it from 2 weeks ago, I feel bad that I ruined it for you. But yeah, so then you take the Rockies. Yeah, he was bad against them, pitching against them in Coors. But this season, in spite of having their home park B Coors, the Rockies have the second lowest WOBA against right-handed pitching. And then they're on the road, they're the third lowest WOBA overall, right? And so still striking out at a very healthy 25%. I think that this is still a good enough matchup, and getting the Rockies out of Coors, regardless of what the wind does, still makes it a pretty tempting spot for me. So obviously keep an eye on the line. Like, you know, the wind does make a huge difference in Wrigley in terms of expected runs produced. But as of right now, I wouldn't be going out of my way to cross Darvish off or anything. I think he's still the type of pitcher that you want to roster, given the savings that you can get on a pretty small slate where it's going to be tough to roster two pitchers over 11,000, you know?
Yeah, no, so it's very rare to get a guy with more than a K per inning
in like the low 8,000s range on DraftKings. Like he's almost priced like he's pitching in Coors again. And it's mostly just because he's has been bad in a couple starts.
So, yeah, he was 8,000 in that game in Coors. So yeah, it's almost exactly the same price.
We'll keep an eye on that line. Like I said, we record this at about 9 o'clock Eastern time. So that line, these lines usually come in within this hour. They kind of settle into whatever it's going to be just for the day. So I suspect we see it somewhere like around 9.5. And I actually think that's probably close enough to still have him in cash game considerations. And if not, if it bumps him a little bit, I think you can probably figure out a way to get C-Mart in there as well. Just in terms of a couple stacks for the early game, is there a team that's kind of jumping out to you that we can, assuming with the assumption also that if we're going to be definitely rostering Kluber in almost any situation, we are going to need to find a couple ways to save?
Yeah, so it's kind of a tricky spot because there are a couple really good stacks, I think. They don't really line up with paying the absolute maximum for pitching. And those are, you get Boston against Danny Duffy. Danny Duffy this season has been in almost the worst of all worlds. The K's have been down. The walks are nearly double what they were last year and kind of back up to when he first came up and everyone was concerned about the walks. That's really where Duffy is landing once again. And the home runs, man. I mean, he's generating just 33% ground balls and has yielded 1.42 home runs per nine. So the Red Sox look really, really attractive there, with the caveat that obviously you can't just play all the expensive pitchers on any given night.
Right.
But this is kind of the thing you run into almost across the board, because you can also grab the Indians against Matt Moore. I mean, Matt Moore's profile looks remarkably similar to Danny Duffy's, except for he walks more guys and strikes out fewer guys. So he's like a poor man's Danny Duffy, who's like, you know, a poor man's, I don't know, other bad pitcher. So yeah, it is kind of a conundrum because you certainly are paying up when you go in any of these kind of obvious stack directions for me. I guess you could also throw the Cardinals in there against Lucas Giolito. Giolito, another one of these prospects that came up and has been pretty underwhelming, and his numbers this year are... I'm sorry. I had his numbers inverted in my mind. I thought he was at 7.3 Ks per nine and 3.8 walks per nine.
No.
That would be the 3.8 walk Ks per nine and 7.4. Holy God. This is the worst peripherals I've ever seen over 25 innings.
It's really bad.
Sorry, man. I'm kind of in shock right now.
I can tell. It's okay. I'll pick up for you here. No, Giolito, he has been, like, he was coming out of the minors, he was supposed to be sort of a somebody, right? Like, he had put up some nice minor league numbers, was supposed to be a guy that could probably settle into like a third or fourth starter. Never going to be an ace, but a guy that could be, you know, sort of back end of the rotation steady guy. These numbers are, this is a crime against humanity what he's been doing this season. Now, it simply won't last, because he's either going to have another bad game and get sent back to the minors, or it's just going to turn itself around. So this might be the last time we have like this kind of total disaster discussion about Giolito, because we might just not be talking about him for a while, because you just simply can't stay in. Although the White Sox pitching staff, maybe you can just stay in with these numbers because some of these other guys they trot out there. But these guys are, he's just really bad. I think I probably would go Indians first against Matt Moore. I think that you're not paying, at least on FanDuel, not paying crazy numbers like mid 3,000s for like Edwin Encarnacion. I think you can just definitely, if you're going to have been one guy to pay for, I think I'd probably just pay all the way up for Lindor at shortstop because of the positional scarcity that you have there. And he's just so much better than everybody else. So I think there are enough ways that you can do it. All these teams are priced somewhat fairly, like in that the Cardinals are not, you're not getting them super cheap at this point, like definitely not getting the Red Sox, but I think you can actually piece together enough of them that you're not just going to be completely bum hunting throughout the order. So I think it's one of those nice things where there's just enough bad pitchers that if you're going to get even one little lineup change, like just getting one guy to the top of the lineup against any of these guys on the cheap, and I think you are, it's kind of a way you go. And I like when things line up like that, because it does make lineup construction a little easier.
Yeah, I mean, the early slate actually it's kind of the best of all worlds. Like, you have these really good pitchers on the top end, and then you actually have a lot of, like, I'm just looking at this too. You can probably play both sides of the Toronto-Minnesota game too, if you're just looking to mix and match. Like, that game has a 9 total, and it's basically a pick 'em right now. So, yeah, early slate looking really, really good. Definitely one I'm going to want to play today.
Before we get to the evening slate, where we can probably spend almost the entire time talking about pitching, hit us up with the sponsor.
Sure, let's talk NoHalftime.com. NoHalftime is a great place to go to play one-on-one daily fantasy sports challenges, and really a great place to go if you don't want to take all the time to make all the last little dollars work for salary cap game format, DFS games. Basically, you could just pick one player. You can issue a challenge of that player versus any other player in the same sport. So you can even go pitchers to hitters. You can obviously do it in basketball as well right now. since that season is active, and you can issue your challenge for any amount of money. So if anyone else sees value in your challenge, they will pick it up. If you see value in other challenges, the hundreds that are listed there every day over on No Halftime, then you can pick those up and go from there. So download the app, nohalftime.com, use promo code DFSR for a 50% bonus up to $50 on your first deposit.
This evening's slate of games is... the pitching is just okay, we'll talk about why you hate it in a second, but I mean, there's just so many good pitchers going here. It's kind of ridiculous. Now, yesterday we talked about the situation where we just had so many elite arms. We had like five or six elite arms, and then we had a couple other guys in that range. But then there was a drop off into just some just gas can kind of guys that you could definitely stack against. This evening slate of games for a short slate, you really don't have that. That's really not the case here. There's are just a lot of good pitchers. Honestly, the only two bad pitchers are like Jose Urena and Ivanova, and maybe throw Luis Castillo in there.
I'll throw Wade Miley in there too. Wade Miley's not.
I didn't really. I didn't have a projection on him in our latest update. Right. Okay. Correct. Wade Miley's also bad. Actually, then there was one other guy too. But for the most part, considering how many guys here, DeGrom, Strasburg, Nola, Paxton, Severino, Bundy, Godley. I mean, Andrew Heaney hasn't been bad at times. Keuchel, Ryu, Newcomb has strikeout stuff. That's a lot. It's a lot of really good names. Now, you said you hate the slate. Do you hate it just because there's not enough bad pitchers? Like, do you want to gravitate toward things where it's one or two high-end guys and then one or two teams that can just easily feel good about rostering? Is that why you hate it, or is there another reason?
Yeah, well, I think the reason I'm not loving it right now is because... I don't mind short slates, right, where there's like only one or two teams that really are in good spots where you want to pick bats from. I don't mind that so much. But I do mind when you're in a situation where there's not that many bats to play, but there are a lot of good pitchers to choose from. It just really increases the variance in a sport that already contains a lot of variance, because you're going to see ownership on these pitchers spread. I mean, like the pitchers with sub 4 implied runs for their team allowed, like there is just a laundry list. You named them all. I don't even know if you mentioned DeGrom. Like, there are just so many different guys going today that are cash game viable, that if people play them, they're not just throwing their money away. Guys in good matchups against bad teams. Like, it's just really across the board. And so when you have a day like that, you get just tons of different ownership across pitching, and the hitting ownership is kind of consolidated. So basically, you're just hoping you're the one that picks the best pitchers today. And I don't know, that just doesn't really do it for me.
Yeah, I think you're actually just going to see most people stack up on this Reds game if you just take really by almost any metric that you take for these later games, whether it be opposing pitcher or implied runs or park or whatever, the Reds just have... they have everything clicking for them, and their prices too. The guys, I'm going to rewind back to the pitchers here in a second, but the Reds hitters you have some guys at the top of the lineup that are in the better side of their splits, and they're like mid threes on FanDuel, where the pricing is pretty soft, and none of these pitchers are going to cost you a ton. But I think you just see them sort of as a chalk, and then you're basically hoping that your pitching gets there. Now, if you were to start right in a place here with a certain pitcher that you thought was maybe either going to be the highest owned or was just in the best spot, do you have a guy that just sticks out to you? Because like I said, the list here is pretty long of guys you have to choose from.
Yeah, I think Strasburg is my guy right now. He's excellent. You know, still back up to around 10 Ks per nine. The walks are now down from last season after a slightly rocky start there. The ERA isn't amazing, but it is trailing the xFIP by half a run, basically. So I think there's some room for growth there. He's also running extremely bad based on his historical averages in terms of home runs per fly ball allowed. And if that number comes down, you could see some really dramatic improvement, both in how deep Strasburg's going into games, which is already fine at 6.5 innings per start, and in terms of the overall quality of those starts. And I think perhaps bigger here, when you look at some of the matchups some of these other teams have, like, you know, you have the Yankees and Astros facing one another, both with good pitchers, not an ideal spot. Him going up against the Pirates, I think, is as good a spot as any of the big-name pitchers have today. And I mean the big-name guys, like, obviously, like, Aaron Nola is in a better spot if you want to consider him as a pitcher two on DraftKings or something like that. Or maybe you're in your mind, Aaron Nola is moving into that ace level category. He's not for me. And I think among the top guys, I think Strasburg just has the best matchup. And again, National League Park doesn't hurt him there either.
Very light hitting team, the Pirates. Don't strike out a ton, but when you get down really past the five spot in the lineup, you are walking through guys that you're just not worried about at all, like Cervelli, Colin Moran, Jordy Mercer, guys like this. Like, you are, even the top of the lineup, like guys like Adam Frazier aren't there's almost no power in this lineup at all. Polanco a little bit, Belsum, but like there's just not much power. You're not. It's going to be when you. And the reason I kind of throw this in there as maybe just the tipping point of where you want to go is that when you have teams that don't have a lot of power, it is hard to just pile on runs. Like you need a lot to go right for a right. team that just that doesn't have a lot of power, because you just can't. It's just harder to extend innings, and it's harder to just get the fielding out of the play. So I think I'm with you on Strasburg. Nice money line here. It's going to get close. I don't think I would want to do DeGrom. So the difference between him and DeGrom, let's say, is I think that DeGrom might just, he's probably to me the better pitcher, but the matchup I think is plays enough into it that I would rather roster Strasburg, because you have that sort of the exact opposite problem with the Braves. Like they have Albies, who's a very good hitter, Acuna, who's obviously just maybe the best prospect in all baseball, Freeman, who has a lot of power, and there's the top of that lineup. And then even when you get down to Marquez and Suzuki, they don't have power, but they also never strike out. So you need a lot to go right, I think, for DeGrom to pile on a lot of points. I think that's that's probably the one difference. Those top three of the Braves order makes a pretty big difference for me. I do have a couple questions about some of these guys. You mentioned Nola. So Aaron Nola came out last year, really the two seasons before. We talked about him last time he started, I believe, as well. So he went through two seasons of 9.8 strikeouts per nine, low threes xFIP. Was just really looking like he was just kind of like moving into ace level territory. Basically, kind of just was an ace. Like these are getting close to ace level numbers, and then now the strikeouts are just, they're gone. He's striking out 6.5 per nine. He's really had almost no games where you can point to, like, you know, like sometimes with these numbers you're like, oh okay, he's been pretty good, but he had this one game where he didn't strike anybody out, and that's going to throw it off. He's had one game where he struck out more than a guy an inning, and that's kind of it. Like that was against the Pirates, 7 innings, 9 Ks. 6.5 Ks per nine down. So he's basically off 3 Ks per nine off of the last 2 years in a large sample size. Are we worried that he's maybe settling into like that? These numbers kind of draw concern for me when I see this, and I just don't know what to make it from a projection standpoint, because we are still very much projecting him like the guy he had been for the last two seasons. And with every start, it seems like that is becoming more incorrect.
Yeah, no, I mean, Nola's another guy. I wouldn't worry that he's just falling off. Like, he's 24 years old, right? So I don't think it's a case where he's just past his prime or anything like that. He was kind of a slow start last year. I mean, not on the level of Kluber, but, you know, his Ks per nine were under nine for those first 2 months of the season, you know, more like in the 8.5 range. And then, so if he starts with 8.5 but ends the season averaging 9.5, then obviously, like, the rest of the season was considerably better than that. But unlike Kluber, if you go back a little further on him, those numbers don't totally bear out. Like, in 2016, he was the same exact pitcher every single month of the season, and I think that makes me feel a little bit more concerned about it. But the other thing here, of course, is just sample size issues. You know, 36 innings is not really a sample that should teach us anything too much about what a pitcher is going to be. And he's got three starts against the Braves and one start against the Pirates. So that's four of his six starts are against teams that really don't strike out very much. And he was, frankly, electric in the one start against the Pirates in spite of that. But even just the three Braves starts, I mean, he's got 20 total innings here with just 9 strikeouts against the Braves, and against all the other teams, he's just been good. So
interesting.
I'm not willing to. So, you know, who knows? You know, obviously, I'm also just picking and choosing on some level in terms of what stats I'm choosing to look at here. But just again, want to point back to the earlier point, which is that early season, strength of schedule, sample sizes, all that stuff are really, really short to make any big declarations.
That makes me feel better about those, noticing that those three starts against the Braves, because like we said, we've talked about this team as this team that just doesn't strike out a lot. So, and the Marlins are not the Braves. This Marlins team is one of the worst you're ever going to see, 1 through 9 in a batting order, or just going to be 1 through 9 talent-wise, but talent in quotes here, relatively speaking. But I mean, talented compared to me, but talented compared to other Major League Baseball teams. So I think you get... This is just kind of the matchup where if you think that things are going to turn around, or you think that the early season numbers have been kind of wonky, then this is the exact kind of place to buy him. He's still not even coming that cheap. He's under 10,000 on DraftKings, but he's still – it's interesting about how DraftKings will adjust for opponent, because even after an early season that has been really uninspiring for all the reasons we said about Nola, he's still the third most expensive pitcher on the slate for DraftKings, because he's playing – the Marlins, right? So they are doing a pretty massive price correction on guys when they notice that when the algorithm's picking up that they're playing one of the worst teams in baseball. A couple other guys I think worth mentioning here that I want your maybe just some of your thoughts on. One guy is Andrew Heaney. So Heaney has put up really pretty electric K numbers in the minors, and at times has flashed it to the majors, but we're still and this I'm speaking mostly over the last two seasons. Like, so when he was the first 2014 and 2015 with the Marlins was like less than 7 Ks per 9. Then goes to the Angels and makes, I don't know what the, I'm not exactly sure what the overall adjustments are, but all of a sudden in the, with the Angels, starts striking out somewhere in the range of, so over the last 35 innings, he's striking out like 12 batters per nine with a mid threes xFIP. What do we want to make of him? Team change, and it looks like just in terms of pitching K stuff, a total change there. Do we want to translate some of these gains for him as something that you think he's is sustainable doing for, going forward? Because his numbers, like his K numbers, are completely elite. But I know that the sample size is a little small. The xFIP, excuse me, the ERA is up near 7, but the xFIP this year is only 2.3. So he's been getting very, very unlucky. What do we make with a guy like Heaney? Do we think that he's not going to be a 14 K per nine guy? But are we putting him, we want to make him like a K per nine guy? It doesn't seem like it would be the case, but he's got some really good early season numbers.
No, I don't think it's crazy to give him a K per nine. I think if you look at, it's kind of some season long season projectors, like, or baseball projectors like Steamer, Zips, those have him around that range. And I don't think it's nuts. I mean, in the minors, when he was coming up, a lot of people projected him to be a big time strikeout guy, you know, an A ball, high A, he was up near 10 Ks per nine. Triple A, he pitched 83 innings there in 2014, almost had 10 Ks per nine. So you can see him flirting with numbers like that. Obviously, he was pretty underwhelming on the K stuff for his first two seasons in the majors. And I think people started to establish sort of a new baseline in their mind for him, where he went 30 innings in 2014 at 6 Ks per nine, 105 innings in 2015 at 6.7 Ks per nine. But the guy's still 26 years old. I think when a pitcher's that young before he's kind of around that prime, looking at the most recent sample size probably makes the most sense. It's obviously a little bit hard to get a grip on him because he pitched only 6 innings total in all of 2016. 2017 was similarly riddled with injuries. Pitches 50 innings total across all levels. But the one common theme for all those innings was that the K stuff was there. So I don't know if you want to talk about him as a 14 Ks per nine pitcher, but sure, one strikeout per inning, I don't see why that would be impossible.
Yeah, against the Baltimore lineup that will strike out. They do have a lot of righty hitters, but some of those guys are reverse platoon guys. Mostly with him is that if you think he is this kind of, if you think he's anywhere close to a strikeout per nine guy and with the matchup, then $6,000 on DraftKings is about the best deal you're ever going to get for a starting pitcher too. So that's mostly why I'm bringing this up, because if you can get maybe similar peripherals to some of the other guys on the list that we named, with maybe a better matchup. And I'm talking about guys like Keuchel, guys like Godley, guys like Bundy, right? If you think that his peripherals are in the same range as those guys, which is maybe pointing like they're going to be, then he's easily the best deal on the entire slate at only 6,000. So this is where, again, this is where baseball is a little bit tricky early season, is trying to make sense of where some of these pitchers specifically are going to land. I worry about this less with bats, because this stuff with bats, it's one, the variance is high, and two, these guys just do tend to normalize into whatever they've done for their career over the long term. But pitching is a place where we do see players make, at times, not all the time, but somewhat dramatic or at least positive changes one way, or positive or negative changes one way or the other, that do affect do affect some of the projections. Now, you said you didn't like the slate. Before we get out of here, I mean, besides the Reds, which I think people are going to try to probably play as much as possible here, is there another team, like, of all the pitchers that we mentioned that are above average or better, is there a team that you wouldn't mind stacking against one of those guys? Because you might be in a situation where you just have to.
No, I don't think you quite have to. I think there's enough value elsewhere, like the Reds against Wade Miley we talked about. I think Seattle against Brett Anderson. You know, he's got a 6.3 ERA this season, and while that doesn't obviously tell the whole tale, he also, just the peripherals the last few years have been pretty darn bad as well. I mean, he was like almost historically level bad in 2016 with the Dodgers, kind of been flirting with all these injury stuff. He was sort of passable on the ground ball stuff last year, but still just 6 Ks per nine. I think on a day where you've just got multiple games with a 7.5 total that are pick-ems here, the one game that features Anderson is going to be one I think that a lot of people will want to target as well. So, I think those guys, and I also think the Phillies against Jose Urena, again, just in terms of a team that you can grab a few guys and mix and match from, I do think that there will probably be enough to scrape together cash game lineups. I just think that there's going to be really high ownership on the guys that people wind up wanting to play.
I think, I don't know if you mentioned Nova, the Nationals against Nova.
That was
too.
The other one, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're a team that's showing up a lot for us in DraftKings right now. They did move Bryce Harper back up to the leadoff spot last night, so I think that's, and he was good. He's always going to be good because he's just awesome, but they finally moved him back into a spot where he should be. I mean, I don't know if you've seen his numbers this year, but he's got a 30% walk rate and like a 14% K rate or something like that this season. He's just... If he already wasn't considered like one of the best hitters, like this is just the exact guy you want hitting leadoff. And I know people will poo-poo that because of the power or whatever. But if you move him into the leadoff spot and then you move Matt Adams, who hit two home runs yesterday and was a real chalk play, up into the third spot, now all of a sudden that's a pretty nice little stack to be able to get, especially if you feel like you can save a little bit on DraftKings with a Paxton or an Andrew Heaney. This is actually where specifically a guy like Heaney works out so well, because if you think that his numbers, you're going to get them on the cheap, then now all of a sudden you can just go and stack, stack the guys like Bryce Harper, who have as high of cash game floor as any hitter you'll ever have, simply because that walk rate is just literally insane. So I think there are just enough ways to take it, and that you're hoping that you just that you hit on the correct pitchers. All right, we're gonna get out of here. Double slate of baseball, a lot of stuff to talk about today. Really great pitching, which you don't really see piled all into one day, so it's been a couple nice days for that, which probably means Thursday and Friday are gonna be a disaster because all the good pitchers have pitched in the last 2 days. But we will we'll have you covered. We'll be back again Friday. I'll be here with Chris Durrell doing the podcast that day. dfsr.com/mlb gets you started, free trial for 3 days, and then $29.95 a month after. Optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. Buddy, enjoy your time away. We'll talk to you again late next week when you're back.
Don't wally pit me, Chris. I'm coming for you.